Hear the word of God as it is written in the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 16. This can be found on page 419 of the Pew Bibles. The author of this psalm, King David, expresses his reliance on the Lord and his joy in the comfort and safety that brings. Psalm 16, reading from verse 1. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the beginning of the Gospel according to Mark, to chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 8. This can be found on page 761 of the Pew Bibles. Mark tells us how the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, was prepared in advance. Mark 1, reading from verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they have repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon. He is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard the name of Anne Lorimer. She lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and holds a Guinness World Record. At the age of 85, she was the oldest woman to reach the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. It took her 8 days to get to the top, a journey she undertook to raise awareness of her Challenge Youth Fund, a foundation which supports disadvantaged children throughout the state of Arizona. In addition to that good cause, Anne wanted to prove to other seniors that life doesn't have to stop at the age of 50. Anne Lorimer managed to get to the top of Kilimanjaro because she had a team around her, a team that supported her, walked with her, and took care of her. Without that team, she freely admits that she would never have ventured onto the mountain, let alone reach the summit. Last week I told you some of the things I undertook in my preparation for studying God in the mountains. This week I'd like to look at teamwork. To reach the summit of the highest mountain in Africa, Anne Lorimer needed teamwork. To reach the highest mountains in Scotland, England and Wales, I was going to climb on my own. Team free, just me. Sounds like a slogan for a t-shirt. Team free, just me. Oh, assuredly I would meet people along the way on the mountains, but they would be people that I would encounter rather than journey with. The first of the three peaks I climbed was Snowdon in North Wales, and was without doubt the busiest of the three mountains, probably because there's a railway that runs from its base to its peak. Diesel and steam engines run every 20 minutes or so, pushing a single carriage full of tourists to the top of the mountain. What we in the mountaineering fraternal would call cheats, who got there the easy way. I have a t-shirt that you can't miss that says, I climbed the hard way. And I earned the right to wear it because I had to climb every step up that mountain and then back down again because there wasn't any spaces on the train to get back down. The people taking the easy way reminded me of the parable of the vineyard worker that Jesus told, where it didn't matter how long a worker was employed for or how long they worked on the particular day, be it only 3 hours or 11 hours, they each received a full day's pay. It did not matter which route we took to get to the summit of Mount Snowdon, we each received the same view. Who was I to complain? It was not my mountain, and it wasn't my view. It was God's. It was on my second climb, Scafell Pike, that I appreciated something I had taken for granted on Snowdon. I was following it in the footsteps of many who had gone before me. I walked along well-trodden paths, paths that were created and maintained by others. Scafell Pike in the Lake District has many routes up to its summit, and the one I chose, according to the climbing guidebook, was the longest but easiest climb. I figured that would be best for my weak knee. I look forward to getting a hold of the person who wrote that quote in the guidebook so I can let them know that they were ever so slightly mistaken. Yes, I had a lovely 2 mile walk along a valley to start with, to a near vertical wall that climbed up 1,000 feet. It reminded me of the Devil's Staircase in Glencoe. And when I got to the top of the wall, I was still 4 miles away from Scafell Pike. As I made my way steadily onwards, my path crossed many other paths, and I had to constantly look back so that I would know which path to take on my way back down. And I realised that without the paths, I would have taken much longer to get to where I wanted to go. The reality of Team Free, Just Me would have been that I would have had to be a trailblazer to find new paths on my own across the rutted landscape, not to mention a route up and down the steep wall, and as I found out later, also up the loose shingle and across the many boulders that lead to the summit of Scafell Pike. The path across the boulders was marked by a series of cairns to show the way. If anyone doesn't know what a cairn is, it's a pile of bricks up into a pile, into a point. And as I started to climb above the cloud level, I was thankful to the many people who had climbed before me and marked the way. And once again, I was disappointed by the view that when I eventually got to the summit of the mountain, just as on Snowdon, the view on Scafell Pike was denied me as it was hidden by cloud. And this time it was much thicker than on Mount Snowdon. My anticipated appreciation of God's creation from the mountaintop was not going to plan. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world as the Messiah and its Saviour went very much according to plan. A plan that had been laid out for anyone with eyes to see in the prophetic visions of the Old Testament. And in our gospel reading, we heard that the pathway for Jesus' ministry was also prepared in his advance. John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness calling the people to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And it would be wrong to think that Jesus' ministry was a one-man show. It was most assuredly teamwork. The preparation was not made just by John the Baptist, but by many others, both in the Old and in the New Testament. Prophets of long ago may have foretold of the coming of the Messiah, but people like Mary, who was prepared to do what God commanded her to do, even though it meant that she would have to travel along many hard roads, meant that the team building around Jesus was widespread and ongoing. And we would not know about the ministry of Jesus if it weren't for his team of disciples and other followers, not just back in biblical times, but in every age from then till now. 2,000 years ago, as Jesus was laying the foundation for his church, he kept his team together. For 3 years, the disciples were seldom out of the presence of the Lord. And on those occasions when Jesus sent them out on some mission, that would teach them more about Jesus and themselves. They were never sent alone. They were always sent out in teams of at least two. The church today operates on the same ethos. It's never a one-man or a one-woman show. It operates on teamwork. We would not be meeting here this morning if it had not been for a team of Christians who had a vision to build a church here in this place. On Tuesday night of past week, a report was given to a meeting in Hamilton Presbytery that said the number of parish ministers in the whole of the Church of Scotland is predicted to fall from 742 as at 2nd January 2018 to 611 by the end of 2023. In Hamilton Presbytery, the presbytery that this church belongs to, the figures are 46 January 1st, 2018, falling to 37 by the end of 2023. The church is moving into uncharted territory. The future is unclear, shrouded in mist, if you like, just like the view I had at the top of Scafell Pike and Snowdon. I could not see what the landscape around me looked like, just as the church cannot foresee what it will look like if the predictions about the number of ministers comes true. But we can face that future, unknown, with a boldness that the world does not understand, because we have faith in the Creator of everything, the one who has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, the one who loves us completely. We can have the same confidence that King David had, the author of Psalm 16 that we heard earlier, when he said, "Lord, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." This coming Tuesday, we take our first steps into the unknown territory of Unitary Constitution as we meet at 7 p.m. to organise the committees. But they're not really committees. They are teams. It's not a pastoral care committee. It's a pastoral care team. Committees sound like groups meeting to discuss things. Teams sound much more proactive. A pastoral care team will not just talk about the welfare of church members and the wider community. They will find ways to meet those needs. The same will apply to the worship team, social team, mission team, communication team, youth team, finance team, and whatever other teams we decide to create on Tuesday night. Jesus did not call us just to be Christians so that we can sit on the sidelines. He calls each and every one of us to be Christians who participate actively in his church, even if that means stepping out of our comfort zone. No matter whether we are young or old or somewhere in between. And no one here need fear they will be forced into becoming a member of a team. No one will be forced into anything. We pray that you will be motivated in your soul by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And if you want the best for Burnhead Church, then you will find it in your heart to be there on Tuesday night, because your input is important. If you are not there, then there will be holes in our work. Our church love, incomplete. Let me finish with this thought. Every time I climb a mountain, I find myself grateful for those who have gone before me and have smoothed a trail for me. And I am reminded in life and in the church, we all stand on the hard work of those who have walked before us. And as I step forward into the mystery of the future, I know I will not be the last to walk this trail, climb this mountain, or witness these views. And while I am thankful for the work of those who have gone before, I also sense an important obligation to those who will come after. An obligation to leave the trail, the mountain, and the church in better condition than I found it. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, every one of us here travelled a unique and different journey to get here. Yet, Lord, you have placed something on each and every one of our hearts. You have called us to be here, to be a part of your church. Lord, your call is often a mystery to us. What could we do? Who cares about what we think or what we say? Lord, you care. You care about us in a way we do not appreciate. And you have a future for us that we do not understand or cannot see. But Lord, we have to put our trust in you, that what we think would be impossible for us is very much possible for you. Possible for us when we have you in our hearts and we listen to you and follow you. This we pray in your mighty name. Amen.